First, I would like to open our Bibles in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. And we will read the first 30 verses. Lamentations chapter 3, 1 till 30. Lamentations chapter 3. These are the lamentations, children, of the prophet Jeremiah. So when we listen to this portion of the Bible, then we hear the voice of Jeremiah. And he says, I am the man that have seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hatched me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone, and he hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, and therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, the soul that seeketh him. It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. Till so far the scripture reading this afternoon. I would ask your attention in particular for verse 22, Lamentations 3, verse 22, where the prophet speaks, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And I have wrote under those Bible texts as a theme this afternoon, the song of faith of the prophet Jeremiah. the song of faith of the prophet Jeremiah. And I divided my sermon in three parts. The first heading is that this song begins with a humble confession, as we have read it in verse 22. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Secondly, she has a God-glorifying content. It's in the same verses, in the same words. It's the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and because His compassions fail not. And in the third place, it's based on solid ground, and that's can you find in the next verses, 24, when he confessed, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, and therefore will I hope in Him." The song of faith of the prophet Jeremiah. It begins with a humble confession, as a God-glorifying content, is based on solid ground. Congregation, it's a wonderful word what the prophet speaks. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. This kind of word, it's a kind of a word of reflection on His own life. When He is looking around Him, He is drawing conclusions from what He really actually is seeing there. And what's He seeing? What's the context of the words of the Lord, of the words of the prophet in this afternoon? Why we call this book the Book of Lamentations? And why the prophet is lamenting? Why he's crying? Why? What has happened, children? Do you know that? What's the background of the Book of Lamentation? Oh, maybe you ever have seen, children, a picture of Jerusalem? And what was the most important place of the city of Jerusalem? Do you know that, children? What was the most important building in Jerusalem? It was the temple. It was such a beautiful temple. Every Jew, he or she was so pride on the temple. It was so a beautiful building, magnificent building of Solomon. Jerusalem was a city, was surrounded with very great walls. But what had happened? Oh, when Jeremiah speaks these words, children, then he is sitting by the remnants of the heaps of rubble of Jerusalem. Everything is destroyed. The beautiful temple, totally destroyed. All the walls around the city, destroyed. Burned. And a lot of people of Israel has gone in exile, taken away to Babylon. Only the poorest people were allowed to stay in Jerusalem and that area to work in the vineyards and in the fields. And also Jeremiah was allowed to stay amongst those people. And Jeremiah, he has seen what happens, children. He have seen how everything was burned down. He have seen how the people have to go in exile. He saw them go, mothers with screaming children, crying babies, hungry, thirsty. He saw it with his own eyes. And why? Why it happened? Why this beautiful city, this important temple, why it was destroyed, children? Do you know that? It was because of the sins of Israel. yes, the children of Israel, which is what we call them, the Israelites, they were God's people, God's covenant people. God loved his people. But the people of Israel didn't love their God. No, they were serving idols. Baal, for example. Moloch. They were serving Chemosh, the idol of the Moabites. Yes, they even worshipped the moon and the stars, and even there were altars of the idols in the court of the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. It was King Manasseh who had placed them there instead of worshipping God on his place, in the place of the holy God. His people was serving idols. And God, he has seen it. And what he did, he sent his servants. He sent his prophets. That's God. Oh no, he didn't send directly enemies. Oh no. God sent his servants. God sent his word for decades. And all the prophets were speaking and preaching and proclaiming the word of God, that the people of Israel has to come to repentance, to change their lives. But they didn't. And God has told them what would happen if they would not listen. Then should happen what had happened. The city would be destroyed. And it happened. God, oh congregation, that's God. Yes, God fulfills all his promises, be sure. But not only his promises. Also when he warns, he will also fulfill his warnings. And he did in the past. And he does also today. And now the prophet Jeremiah, this tender God-fearing man, is sitting in front of this broken city. A man who loves his people, who loves God, who loves the service of God, the ministry of God. And everything is destroyed. And you can find several words when he is crying. For example, in the chapter 2, verse 11, mine eyes do fail with tears, my bowels are troubled. In chapter 3, verse 7, you can hear what he said. He hath hatched me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Verse 14. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. Oh, it was so difficult to accept also for the prophet of God, to see what had happened. Then he came to a conclusion in verse 17. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. Verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. No hope. No expectation. Only a destroyed city, all the people and maybe family members has gone in exile, and the future of Israel is gone. And it looks like that Jeremiah sinks into a deep self-pity. And maybe you can a little bit understand the words of the prophet. Oh, we can also have in our daily life so many troubles, so many questions, pain, sorrow. And when we face all those things, oh, you can come for yourself to the conclusion, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. He has removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. Can also be in our spiritual life. Oh yes, even after receiving grace. Oh, it can come again in our souls so dark. So dark, so difficult. Oh, we can feel our heart, ourselves so empty, so far away from the presence of God. The mighty, the power of sin again can feel powerful in your life. That you also have to complain, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. Oh, I may be in hopeless case. Oh yes. Oh yes, when God by His Holy Spirit is working in souls of man. And you see a little bit the reality of your own life. And you see a little bit the reality of sin. Of course, we talk about sin in church, isn't it? How many times? And we are so used to have these words, but you can sleep, no problem. But when the Lord shows you what is sin, that you are sinning against God, a God full of love, when you realize the power of sin in your own heart, then it is not more anymore a story far away. Then there's a reality in your heart. And you can overcome it by yourself. And you see in front of the Lord how I have to stay before God. I am a sinner. And then you can think, oh maybe, I'm a too great sinner. I was sinning too long. I have sinned against that I know what was bad, but I did it. And Satan says, and now it's over. God will never hear you anymore. He will never answer your prayer. It's over. Oh, my dear congregation, then that's hard. That's difficult. Oh, then you can sometimes understand the words of the prophet. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. The question this afternoon is, where did it bring us? Where did it bring us? Did it bring us on our knees? That's the only place. Did it bring you on your knees, youth? Oh, my dear young friends, don't think it's only for people who are 30 or 40. No, maybe you are 16 or... And you realize the reality of sin and the power of sin and the power of evil, the power of Satan in your life. You cannot find peace with God, and you are looking for peace with God. You are thinking, oh, maybe for me? Yes. What do you have to do? What Jeremiah did, it looks like in the beginning that he is complaining in self-pity. But we can see wonderful change in verse 19. until verse 19, he was speaking to God, complaining about himself. And for example, verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. But in verse 19, something changed. Instead of to speak about and to God, of about God, he is speaking with God. He is starting in with prayer. And he says in verse 19, praying, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall in the midst of his misery. Oh children, can you imagine that? The prophet of the Lord, he bows down his knees in front of the destroyed city. And there maybe his tears flew out. And he start to pray. That's always the best place. With all your needs, with all your sorrows, with all your questions, to bow your knees. To open up your heart for God, to tell everything to him. And during that prayer, something changed. There changed something in the mind of Jeremiah. And you can find it in verse 20. There, Jeremiah, he is talking to himself. It's very nice to see. My soul, he spoke to himself. My soul have them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. And then he's talking to himself. This I recall to my mind. And therefore have I hope. Oh, during the prayer, when he was alone between God and with his soul, he got another view on the things who had happened. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. And this I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope, he says. Therefore have I hope. That's a wonderful thing, children. Was the city already rebuilt? Was the temple rebuilt? Were the people back from exile? Oh no. Everything was the same. Everything. The city was still burning. And this child of God, this servant of the Lord, he get hope again. Nothing changed outwardly, but inwardly, in his heart and in his mind, the things were changed. What he discovered during his prayer. And that's the word of our text. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. It's because God's mercies and because God's compassions. What he realized, congregation, and this brings me to the second part of my sermon, that God still is the same. That God still is merciful. That God still is full of compassion. Yes, but Jeremiah, you have to be honest. When you look around, when you see the circumstances, you cannot say that God is full of mercy. And when you see what happened with all the people and what happened with the city and with the temple, you can say that he is full of compassion. Yeah, that natural man will say. Man by nature will say. Because men by nature are always blind because of sin. You know, children, it's always because of sin. Sin is always blinding. And sin is always binding. Never forget it. Sin is always blinding. It's because of sin that I don't see the mercies of God in the most poorest circumstances. It's because of sin that I don't see the compassions of God. Even when I go through difficult times. But when God opens my mind through His Spirit in prayer, in the communion with God, through Christ, then I will see in the midst of all the pain, in the midst of all the circumstances, this truth. It are the mercies of the Lord and the compassions of God that I'm still here. What Jeremiah was, what did he see? Well, when he looks around, he came to the conclusion it would be fair if God has destroyed the whole, all the people of Israel, all of them, including me. That's what he is saying. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, not because of us. That's what we deserve as God's people, as God's covenant people. That's what we deserve. And congregation, how it is in your life, personally between you and an all-known God, is your life a life of honoring God, of loving God, of following Christ? Is your heart filled with love, serving Him on the place God had put you, maybe in your business or at school or wherever, in your family? You're all called Christians, I guess. That's the reason that you are in church, isn't it? But are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Is this the same question as I asked this morning? Who is your father? Is God your father because of Christ? And are you living for your father? Or is Satan your father? And of course, I'm covered with a nice black... how you say that in English? I don't know. And I can do that, of course. I can talk as a Christian. I can draw. I can clothe myself as a Christian. Oh, I can do all things. But in the same time, in my acts, in my thoughts, to be the greatest enemy of God. Did you ever discover this reality? Because by nature, we are an enmity of God. An enmity of God. Not easy to accept. But that's the truth. That's what the Bible is revealing. And then you can imagine that the prophet speaks, oh, it's only the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's not because of us. When God would act in the way as I am acting with God. Oh. There are many reasons to fear. So, you can a little bit understand what Jeremiah is speaking and what he was seeing. When he came to the conclusion, when he was thinking about all those things in prayer, he came to the conclusion, yes, Lord, that's what we deserve. That's what we deserve. That thou would destroy thy entire people. That he will never come back from exile. Never. But when he looks around, what he saw, children, he saw still Jews. It were the poorest, but They were still the people of God's covenant. God didn't destroy His people. Didn't consume them in His wrath. Why? And then He saw why. Oh, not because of this those people who were in Jerusalem, they were better than them who were in Babel. Oh, no. But it is because of God's mercies that we are not consumed, and because His compassions fail not. It's because of God's mercies. And that's the only reason that Jeremiah can say in verse 21, "And this I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope, not because of me, not because of my people, but only because of the Lord's mercies and of His compassions." And oh, congregation, what is the mighty wonder? We are this afternoon we are all together here, not to play only a church, but to listen to the Word of God. And I, as a servant of the Lord, may be His voice to you, to speak about God, who He really is, a God full of mercy, a God full of compassion. The question is, do you need a merciful God? Do you really need a merciful God? Or it is a nice picture, and you will go home, and you will go your own life, and the whole week you are busy with a lot of things, to be amazed, to be humble, to honoring God, to honoring Christ. And you say, "Oh God, how You can be merciful to me. How You can be merciful to me. Oh, God is merciful. He is full of mercy. He is full of mercy. All my prayers, all my tears, they don't make God merciful. He is from Himself. He is full of love. That's God. Even when He sent all His people in exile, He is full of mercy. He is full of compassion." Oh, the Hebrew word for mercy. It's such a beautiful word. The word chesed, it means love. Love. And love in a particular way. It's love because of God's covenant. Love because of God's covenant. It's covenant love. The covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has promised His love. It is a promised love. And it is only because of that promise because of God's covenant of grace that He shows mercy also to the Jews who really didn't deserve God's mercies. And His compassions, it's also a beautiful word, congregation. Compassions. Compassion in the Greek, in the Hebrew language, it's a word that's very connected to the mother womb, where the baby is growing. That place where a child is safe, where it feels the heartbeat of the mother, the place where the child is fed by the mother, the motherhood. That's the safe. That's the warm place. That's the place of love. That's the word, compassion, in the Hebrew language. It's so beautiful language, Hebrew language. And the prophet, when he was thinking, and he's a Jew, yes, so he understood this word very, very well. And when he speaks about God, and he says, oh, it is because his compassions fail not. Oh, God's compassion is still the same. That's a wonderful thing. When I discover and you discover, and hopefully you discover the reality of your sin, of your lost life, that you are on the way to hell by nature. And when you see the reality of your sins, and you couldn't overcome all those things by your own power, but God granted you to look in the Bible to see that God is a merciful God, and that his compassions are so great, not for friends, for people who are willing to come to Him. If God had to wait for people who are willing to be saved, oh dear congregation, heaven would be empty. Do you believe that? Heaven would be empty. I never would go. I would be my own king. I would do my own things. Oh yes, I would like to pray to God if I am in problems. That's why I like to have God, of course. But for all the things, I will do my own thing. Oh, when God had to wait upon me, heaven would be empty. But it is by the mighty power of God that He is bringing people to this knowledge that they need God, that they need the mercies of God, that they start to value the compassions of God. It's not automatically, you know. I'm sometimes a little bit afraid, congregation, for people also in churches who are speaking in the way of everything is automatically. They are automatically Christians, you know, and praying and it. No battle. But that's not true. Here you find a battle in the midst of the scripture. That's the Christian life. It's a battle. It's a fight on your knees. When you see the reality of your own life, when you see the reality of a holy God, when you see the reality of God's holy law, how you can survive? It's not possible. And you have to be honest. And that's always what the Holy Spirit is doing in lives of people, from all times and from all places, to make people honest. Honest. In front of the Lord. That's why you can find David in Psalm 32, 51, confessing his sin. He opened his heart. He didn't hit anything. He was honest before God. And that's the way, congregation, that you will discover this truth. God is full of mercy. God is full of compassion. And therefore it's so wonderful that you see Jeremiah is speaking about, he's not speaking about God's mercy. He's speaking about God's mercies. It's plural. It's plural. That's how it can be. God is full of mercy. So when you say that, it's enough. But the prophet, he is so convinced and filled that he starts to talk in terms of plurality. The mercy of God are mercies. And the compassion of God are compassions. The fullness of God's mercy. And children, may I ask you a question? There was one place in this world, and there we have seen the mercies of God, the fullness of His mercies, so in a clear way. Do you know that place? Where? What place? What place on earth? No, I do not mean in the Bible, you can find them also there. I do not mean in heaven, you can also find it there. On this earth. It was close to the city Jerusalem. It was outside the city of Jerusalem. There was the cross of Jesus Christ. God has sent His Son. Do you remember it from this morning, Galatians chapter 4? God, He sent His Son into this world. Born of a woman, born under the law. Crucified at Calvary's cross. Oh, congregation, if you ever would see the mercies of God, you have to go to Calvary. It was my place to be there, isn't it? That's what I deserve, to be crucified because of my sins and your sins. We are starting to talk with God and playing games with God so many times, don't you? Do you really think that God didn't see all those things? Do you think we can play games with God? A little bit religious, play religious games with God? But God, He didn't play. And I try to speak in a careful way. But you can imagine what I mean when I say God didn't play a game. And He sent His own Son to Calvary's cross. It was His own Son. It was His beloved Son. But why? Why He sent His Son to this world? For people who discovered to be a sinner, to be an enmity of God, with all their sinful hearts and minds. The mercies of God, that's the mercies of God. You can find them in Calvary. The compassions of God, you can find them on Calvary. God opened His heart in Christ Jesus. If you would like to know what's in God's heart, don't trust your mind. Don't trust your feelings. But go to the Bible. Go to see to Christ. And in Christ you can see what's in the heart of God. And that's what the prophet saw. And please, congregation, remember it. Nothing was changed in his outwardly circumstances. Everything was even difficult. But in the midst of his misery, he saw the truth. The mercies of God. The compassions of God. Did you ever see it? May I ask you? Have you ever seen, maybe a little bit, and you have to come God's feet in confession, in confessing a lost life. And you have to confess, oh Lord, I have no any power. I haven't. And I felt the weight of my sin and I see the reality of God's law, who is speaking against me, who is condemning me. Oh Lord, and I try. Yes, of course, I try and I did. Oh, I have promised God I will change my life. I will do everything, Lord. But to discover I can. And maybe he discovered, I will not. Did you ever discover the reality, not only that we are powerless? Did you ever discover the reality that I'm not willing. Yet, of course, everyone, if I ask this afternoon to you personally, who of you would like to go to heaven? Now, everyone would raise his hand. I ask it sometimes to my youth in the catechism class. And they all say, yes, of course, Pastor, I will go to heaven. I say, why? Why? Yes, of course, Pastor, because I don't like to go to hell. Yeah, that's a good reason, isn't it? But let me ask you, when you have to die this afternoon, and maybe you may go to heaven this afternoon, what you want to do in heaven? How many people think, oh, in heaven I can do what I want to do. But that doesn't happen. That's not heaven. Heaven is the place, my dear people, where is Christ. Heaven is the place of holiness. Heaven is the place of love, not self-centered life anymore. Christ-centered, God-centered. Would you like to be there? To never more be pride, never more ask attention for yourself. Oh, wait, do you know, congregation? I'm sure. If you don't know Christ, heaven will be for you a hell. Heaven will be for you a hell. And you will ask God, send me out of the heaven, please. What you want to do there? I cannot be in His holiness. And so, congregation, we have to be honest and to be honest with our own souls. But if we learned on this world to rely on Christ with all my sin, with all my lost life, and He, Jesus is my life, oh, I am sure, then you have to sing in eternity the praises of God. And you discovered it already, I think. I'm also already speaking about my last point of the sermon. When He speaks, what was the foundation of this confession? Then He said in verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, and therefore will I hope in Him." That's the foundation. That's the solid ground. That's His expectation. The solid ground, the Lord is my portion. He is my portion. And congregation, this is the question I asked already this morning. And we spoke about it, and so I can be brief about this third point. Who is your God? Who is your Father? Children, in the Old Testament, we had the Levites, you know that. And when the Israelites came out of Egypt and they came in the Promised Land, every tribe got their own part of the country, you know. Only the Levites, they didn't get one part. They didn't get. Why not? You can find it in Numbers. God spoke to this tribe, who had to serve and who would serve Him in the ministry. He says to them, "Thou shalt not inherit in their land. I am thy portion." I am thy portion. I am thy inheritance. The Lord is my part. The Lord is my portion. And therefore will I hope in him. And so, congregation, this is the message of this afternoon. In the midst of circumstances, spiritual circumstances, or temporal, human circumstances of our temporal life, did we ever discover the mercies, the graceful mercies and compassions of God? Yes, let me tell and let me close with a small story, children. It was in the Second World War. Maybe you have ever heard of Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch lady. Several books she has written. And children, she lived in the Netherlands. And during the Second World War, they were hiding Jews. For her father, sister, they all lived together. But on one day, they were deported and they were discovered and they were by the German army sent to a concentration camp. It's very difficult. Many people died on that place. Corrie. But I told you, she also had a sister, and both were fearing the Lord. And one day, they were together, and they opened their Bibles, and her sister said to Corrie, we have to thank the Lord, because it is written in the Bible, thank God for everything, for all things. So we have to thank the Lord. In the midst of this terrible circumstances. And then she said to her, you have to thank that we are here. You have to thank that we can pray together. You have to thank that we have a Bible. They smuggled the Bible along with them. But you also have children. You can imagine maybe there were a lot of, and how do you call them in English? Fleas. Floia. Always this little animus and the little sometimes my English is gone. Yes, that kind of yes, insects. It's painful and it's always problems, you know. And she was so afraid for this animals, that's what I was looking for. Animals. But her sister said, Corrie, you have to thank the Lord for those little animals. She said, don't ask it of me. Don't ask it. I can't. I can give thanks to the Lord for everything without to thank the Lord for that beast. Yes, her sister said, but Corrie, the Lord teaches us in the scriptures, thank God everything of our life. The congregation, she did. Bow down the knees. They start to pray, to thank the Lord in the midst of a concentration camp. To thank the Lord also for the flea. And that was 1 week, 2 weeks later. And her sister said to Corrie, do you remember our prayer? Do you have any idea why we can share the gospel from bed to bed? We can go to all the women in this barrack and we don't see any German soldier. Do you know why? They were afraid for the fleas. Thank God in everything. Thank God. This was the opportunity, the possibility to share the gospel. Oh, this was in the midst of this poor circumstances, they could say it's of the Lord's mercies and is of about God's compassion. And after the Second World War, they asked this lady, they say, Corrie, when you were in the concentration camp, I think you were in hell. Oh no, she said. Oh no. Oh no. Many times I was in heaven. In heaven, Corrie? Yes. Why? Because when Christ is with me, then I'm in heaven. When Christ is with me, then I'm in heaven and I can be on the most difficult place on earth. But when Christ is with me, I'm in heaven. And without Christ, what will be our lives, my dear people? Do you remember? Do you understand it? And this is the message. Don't forget. It's only because of God's mercies, God's grace in Christ, and because of His compassion. And that this message may bring you for the first time or by renewing on the feet of this precious Savior to know Him, to glorify Him for who He is and what He did for His name's sake. Amen.